In a population of more than 66 million people, and with communication technology at its most advanced, somehow we're feeling more alone than ever. And it seems to be affecting the younger generation in particular. Now, this is according to a new report by the Rotary International in Great Britain and Ireland's 2019 State of the Nation report, which examines social and community issues with a barometer of how people feel this affects their daily life. Why the loneliness and what can we do to combat this? Well, I'm joined now by Amanda Watkin, who's General Secretary of Rotary International, Great Britain and Ireland. Hi there, Amanda.
Hello there.
Now, just how lonely are we then as a nation?
Well, 50% of us almost are saying that they feel lonely, and that is a pretty staggering statistic.
It varies across different age groups though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. What we're finding most interestingly, I think, really, is that our 20 and 30-year-olds are feeling the most lonely. So we're up to about 70% of those reporting feelings of loneliness, and 32% say that they feel more lonely than they did 5 years ago. So this is a growing issue as well.
And does it vary across the country then?
There are variations across the country, but we're still finding that on average, between 40 and 60% of the population are feeling this way, irrespective of where you live. So, 46% in Scotland, for example, are feeling lonely, and 43% in the southeast. Londoners are the most lonely. So, I don't think it matters where you are in the country. This is a society issue that we need to understand and address.
And as we've mentioned, we're probably the most connected on social media and that sort of way, the internet, more than we ever have been. You would have thought that that would perhaps combat loneliness.
I think it does give us a means of good communication, but the findings again are showing that 75% are suggesting that it's a superficial relationship that's being built using these channels. So therefore the depth of friendship and genuine interaction human to human is not there. It's a great way of staying connected, understanding what's happening in the world. I think that's really the main basis for the technology solutions that we have. But we still need to, meet up with people, have one-on-one friendships and relationships, and that's missing. We also found that with the younger generations, they're saying that they're feeling less confident, and it's sort of raising doubt in their mind. Their self-esteem is lower when it comes to connecting in the real world, because they spend so much time sitting behind a computer screen and using modern-day technology.
Are men more lonely or women, do you think?
Across the piece, women are more lonely, but in the workplace, interestingly, men feel the most lonely. And I think this is an important issue to home in on, because, when you go, we spend a lot of time at work. If you are in employment, then there's a lot of your time that's given to being in the workplace. And I know you're there to do your job, but actually we still build relationships in that setting. And if men feel that they can't actually have friendship bases within the workplace as well, then that's worrying. We know that male suicide rates are particularly high for the United Kingdom. And so we need to make sure that we're looking after both gender with this issue.
So we definitely need to do something by the looks of it. And yeah. I know that Rotary International has some strategies. You do some work with colleges, don't you?
We do indeed, yeah. This is a great way of us tackling the loneliness issues and social isolation, bringing the younger generations and the older generations together. It's sort of a coffee and a chat environment, safe, non-judgmental. And younger people are able to interact with older people, and they're sort of sharing their stories, sharing their ideas and their ambitions, and older people are able to relate back to the experiences that they've had, and it's almost like a child-grandparent relationship. But actually, funnily enough, it seems to really work. And I think sort of you take a generation out in the middle, and there isn't sort of the expectation of I've got to prove myself to be whatever it is that I'm seeing perhaps on social media. I've got a trusted relationship that's starting to form here. So those programs are working really well, and we have a lot of cohorts, same age cohorts coming together as well, with both our real young generations, 7 to 12 year olds, and our 12 to 18 year olds, where they're connecting to do good in the community. So they're learning how to have conversation, how to negotiate through a relationship by doing project work. And that's really taking off as well with our Interact and Rota Kids groups.
And, of course, a sector of society that sometimes gets forgotten, that would be carers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we do. We do work with two different types of carers. One is young carers, so children and teenagers that are actually looking after a parent or a sibling in the house, and so they may get to go to school. We know school is sometimes affected by this as well. But we give respite opportunities to those young carers, but also looking at those that are dealing with a growing issue within our society of dementia, and we have memory cafes that are running, and that gives opportunity for both the carer and the person with a condition to come out into, again, a safe space, to have a cup of tea, a bit of cake, do some activities, but importantly to talk. And I think that by having other people around to talk to the person that is suffering with dementia, that's good as well, because it's better interaction, more interaction opportunities. But importantly for the carer, they have somebody else that they can speak to who understands what they're going through. And we do a lot of signposting to services and support to help that circumstance as well. And we've had some really positive feedback from people attending those cafes up and down the country.
Well, that's good to hear. One thing that's close to my heart is I think that music can be very powerful with these things. I know you use that, don't you?
We do, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Not only do I sort of do this as a day job, it's also something that I do for a hobby, is be a volunteer with Rotary. And we have one of the memory cafes, and we use music. And to see people singing along, even a sort of dance exercise coming into play, it's a real joy to just watch people's faces light up. They can remember the words. They can go back in time to that period when they felt good, because it's all about sort of triggering the emotional response of a time when things were good for a person. So music is a real stimulus for this.
Now, making the first move can be one of the hardest things. How do you encourage people to get involved with some of the things that Rotary International get involved with?
Yeah, we try to promote at the local level, so using community centres, GP practices, so if you go there, you'll find notices up on the boards, even into your local supermarket. But going back to our sort of conversation about technology, if you do have access to it, then you can find out by going online, and you can go to the central website of rotarygbi.org, and you'll find information there. But it really is about that local connection, and particularly for people if they are isolated and not having access to technology, it's stepping outside the front door. And I think the medical practice is often a very good first call, not to go and take necessarily a GP time, but just to go to read the notice board, to get signposted. I think that's important.
It's good to know that there are places to turn. Amanda Watkin, General Secretary of Rotary International in Great Britain and Ireland, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you, Simon. Appreciate it.